Western civilization, infant baptism, transgenderism, a legal case for the resurrection, the First Amendment, revisionist history. Your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Dallas Page, Fort Worth Knights.
This is particularly true for the media. If they genuinely believe what they claimed they believed about the seriousness and credibility of these allegations, the fact that he made it onto the Supreme Court should cause even more investigation, even more coverage, that instead they dropped it.
Martin Luther often said that if the church ever were to lose the biblical languages, the church would lose the gospel.
It's very difficult for me to explain what it meant to me to consider that I am pleasing to God not because of who I am, but because of the righteousness of Christ.
On-demand listeners of Issues Etc. love hearing sound theology while walking the dog.
There's a lot of proposed insight out there into American politics, especially around election time. People telling us why things are the way they are, how it works, and why the various rivalries in American politics, which now, by the way, includes the media. The media, the fourth estate, has decided that it is as important as the government, maybe even a little more important than the government. And yet at the same time, their approval ratings and the degree to which the American people trust the media is, well, it's about as low as any branch of the government's approval ratings or amount of trust. So maybe that comes with the territory. But why is it that this president, President Trump, has not only managed to pick a few fights with the media, but generally tends to prevail? Now, you may, if you're not a Trump fan, you may say, I don't think he's prevailing. Maybe the media is, but the media are not acting like they're winning any of these battles with the president. They act like they continue to lose and are deeply frustrated. We're going to be talking about President Trump's pro-wrestling approach to the media with Pastor Hans Feeney. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, November the 5th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Pastor Feeney, we'll be in our series on the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Luther's Small Catechism, an introduction to the Lord's Prayer, Our Father Who Art in Heaven. Then Mark and Molly Hemingway from the Weekly Standard and Fox News join us in the last part of the program to do a little preview and some discussion of the midterm elections. Joining us to talk about President Trump's pro-wrestling approach to the media, Pastor Hans Feeney. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled Pro Wrestling Explains Why Trump Wins Every Battle with the Media. Hans, welcome back.
It's great to be here.
Most people look at the president's former association with professional wrestling as kind of a joke or a source of humor, maybe even a little embarrassment, but you have actually found some genuine and refreshing political insight in that connection there. How would you describe it?
Well, this is kind of the interesting thing. There have been a few people who have written articles about this and basically describe, like Stephen Miller, I linked to his piece back in 2016, wrote a really interesting piece about the history of Donald Trump's connection with WWE, no longer WWF, that's what I called it when I was a kid before the whole lawsuit with the World Wildlife Federation. And Jonah Goldberg wrote a piece where both of them kind of present it as Trump sort of bringing along with him into the political arena this kind of sports entertainment persona, so that it's almost as though he steps on the scene and starts rewriting the rules in his favor so that the way he does things is far more entertaining than anyone else, so he's going to get the spotlight, and if you try and fight according to his rules, he's just going to beat you because the rules are kind of written in his favor, and like wrestling, everything is staged, so it's, you know, the end is going to be what it was preordained to be. But I actually think that the reality is that what President Trump has done is just kind of capitalized on the fact that this is already the way that we see politics, that we were already, for a vast number of reasons, we were already seeing our political fights, seeing Washington and all of this in kind of sports entertainment terms, where it just, where when you see, you know, when guys get into power and they say they're going to shrink the government and they only expand the government, when you elect people who say that they're going to end wars and they only start more wars, when you have all of this going on, you know, it doesn't matter who's elected, Democrat, Republican, whatever it might be, it just, the whole thing starts to feel like it's just a show, and like the guys who are getting up there making promises are not substantially different from professional wrestlers who grab the microphone and start cutting a promo about how it is they're going to beat, you know, the other guy at WrestleMania, and where you just kind of start to say to yourself, well, I don't think any of this is real, but the show is still going to go on. So if the show isn't genuine, I might as well just kind of root for the guy who makes it the most fun, and I'll kind of cross my fingers and hope that he means his promises and that he's going to keep his promises. But in the end, it really, the show is more important than anything else. And if I get to feel like I'm part of the show because he's going to smack around the people that I don't like and he's going to have the kind of catchphrases that I like to repeat, that's really the more important thing. So I think really the culture is that this is become the way that we ourselves view political conflict. And President Trump, just from his background in professional wrestling, just sort of knows how to put on a far better show than the media knows how to put on.
So you're going to need to acquaint us with some terms from the pro wrestling world and then kind of explain how it is President Trump interacts with the media and how the media interacts with the audience in those terms, starting with kayfabe.
Yeah, so kayfabe is the, I don't know where the term comes from, I don't know what its origin is, but it's just basically the illusion that what happens in the wrestling universe is real. So everyone knows it's not genuine. Everyone knows that, you know, the guys are punching each other, they're not punching full force. Everyone, you know that these guys who are beating each other up probably don't actually hate each other in real life, and then it's all just a show. But you don't break kayfabe. You don't break the illusion that this is real, because that's what makes it fun. It's sort of fairly similar to what you would talk about, you know, in film or TV, about how you don't break the fourth wall, you know, so you don't have the actor look at the camera and, you know, have some quip about how this is a really dramatic scene that's going on in Schindler's List or, you know, whatever it is. You maintain the illusion. Now, obviously, that was real stuff that happened, but you maintain the illusion that what you're seeing is real for the sake of the entertainment.
What is a wrestler's gimmick?
Yeah, gimmick is the just the kind of the persona of the character. So gimmicks were, I want to make this clear for my mom, I don't actually still watch professional wrestling. I kind of know who some of the people are, and I'm fascinated by the culture of it, but I haven't actually watched an episode of this stuff since probably 1991. And back in the late 80s, early 90s, gimmicks were really kind of strong and cartoonish. So you'd have guys like Ted DiBiase, who claimed to be this, you know, super millionaire who would buy off other wrestlers, and after he beat you with a sleeper hold and made you go unconscious, he'd stuff dollar bills down your throat. Or you'd have, you know, guys like Jake the Snake Roberts, who brought a snake with him out to the, you know, out to his matches. So you'd have a guy who's a barbarian. You'd have a guy who's a clown. You have a guy who's his, that's his various gimmick. The gimmicks, I don't think, are as strong anymore. I don't know what the reason for that is, but so that's kind of the concept of a gimmick, is it's just sort of the character that you're trying to sell.
So just to kind of pause here for a moment, what is the president's gimmick if the analogy of the pro wrestling world holds here? What's his gimmick?
Yeah, well, I think he's actually able to merge together a bunch of gimmicks that he's able to kind of sell together. So for different audiences who want different things. So for the kind of boomer era Republicans who want to relive the glorious Reagan years, he kind of casts himself as the, you know, kind of President Reagan redux, and he's going to be the one who's, you know, the Make America Great Again slogan was one that he just kind of yoinked from, I believe it was the first Reagan campaign for president in 1980, where he, you know, kind of drapes himself in the flag and espouses patriotism and these, you know, and even whether or not he actually is a good representative for, you know, the virtues of truth and justice and honor, that's not really the point. The point is that's kind of what the audience wants, and he kind of presents himself as sort of the 80s era, you know, like a Hulk Hogan kind kind of baby face, which in wrestling terms of baby face is the good guy and the heel is the bad guy. And for those who grew up in the 90s in what was kind of called the Attitude Era, where there was a much blurrier line between good guys and bad guys, between faces and heels. And you had guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin, who are, you know, beer-swilling guys who were giving the finger to the crowd and stuff like that. And they won people over by being tough and not caring what anyone thought about them and just being willing to punch anyone in the nose and not caring about the ramifications. For those who like that kind of a candidate, he's able to kind of present himself as president, unpresidential man. And he's, you know, he's going to be the guy who's going to throw the punches, you know, that a guy like Mitt Romney or John McCain, you know, wasn't willing to throw. And if what you want is punches thrown, then yeah, the guy who's going to present himself as my gimmick is I'm not presidential at all, that's going to go over very well. And then for kind of the more liberal segment of the country, he's able to cast himself in his gimmick as, you know, the evil, self-absorbed billionaire guy that they love to hate more than they actually hate him, if that makes any sense.
What is getting over?
Yeah, getting over is a very big concept in professional wrestling, and it's basically just the idea that the fans have accepted your gimmick. So whether it's a face gimmick, whether it's you as a good guy, whether it's a heel gimmick and you as a bad guy, they've accepted that they're just buying into what it is that you're selling. They've just I think in film and things of that nature, they call it the suspension of disbelief, right? So I'm announcing to you by my cheers or my super boos that I have accepted that whatever you're trying to sell me, I'm buying it. I embrace it. This is part of the story, and I want this to be part of the story. And the more over that you get, the bigger of a wrestling sensation that you are, you know. So guys like Hulk Hogan were as over as you could possibly get in the late 80s, and then, you know, there are wrestlers who would, you know, do a couple of matches and then just kind of went nowhere because they couldn't get over with the fans. No one accepted it as a legitimate gimmick, and if the fans can't get behind it, then there's no point in throwing you out on the ring, which is, I think, in a lot of ways is why President Trump was able to steamroll what was seen to be, you know, pretty formidable competition in the Republican primary, because he had a bunch of guys who had, you know, really great accomplishments in government, but they didn't have a gimmick. You know, Scott Walker didn't have a gimmick. Marco Rubio didn't really have a gimmick. Ted Cruz didn't really have a gimmick. So if you got a bunch of guys who don't have a gimmick versus a guy who does, and if people want pro wrestling politics, that's the guy who's going to win.
Okay, so what is the media not able or willing to do in order to get in the ring with the president here, so to speak? And why does the president continue to kind of outfox them when it comes to getting over with the audience? We've got about a minute and a half.
The problem with the media is they don't know how to sell their gimmick. They can't get over because they can't sell their gimmick. And so the thing is, if you're going to position yourself as, you know, we're going to be Edward R. Murrow Man, and we're going to, our gimmick is going to be we're fighting for truth and honesty, and we're going to be the checker of facts, then you have to be willing to check facts on the other side. You have to be willing to point out the scandals of other administrations. You have to not engage in what I call in the piece just heel tactics, right? So heels were guys who, you know, they're going to hit you in the head with something when the ref's back is turned. They're going to break the rules. They're going to do all sorts of kind of sniveling little cheater type things. And when the media just kind of repeatedly engages in that, when they're constantly misrepresenting the facts in order to try and make the president look worse, when they're just doing a million different other kind of sort of sniveling little tactics. Well, if you say that I'm the guy who's standing up for truth and justice and at the same time engage in all of this sort of deceit and trickery, you come across like a guy like from back when I used to watch it in the late 80s, a guy like the Genius or Mr. Perfect or stuff like that, where you're just kind of this sort of sniveling little heel who's never is going to actually beat the champion. The best you can hope for is kind of, you know, getting a disqualification win here and there. But you're never going to get over with the fans more than he is. You're never going to be seen to be a real legitimate thing because he's got a gimmick that he's selling, and your actions are not consistent with your words in trying to sell your own gimmick.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column there titled Pro Wrestling Explains Why Trump Wins Every Battle with the Media. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Hans, thanks.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, Pastor Paul McCain will join us. We're doing a series on the Lutheran Confessions with him, Luther's Small Catechism, and we're going to be introducing the Lord's Prayer.
Western civilization, infant baptism, transgenderism, a legal case for the resurrection, the First Amendment, revisionist history. Your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Dallas Days.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with excellent professional credentials, please consider applying for our faculty or staff family. Current openings are posted at cuchicago.edu/HR.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lord, help us ever to retain the catechism's doctrine plain.
What makes a church unique? Perhaps we should ask what makes a church faithful. Calvary Lutheran Church of Elgin, Illinois, continually learns Christ's doctrine, simply explained in the Small Catechism. This doctrine teaches us Christ crucified, who even today comes and serves his baptized children in word and sacrament to forgive, strengthen, and teach us for daily life. This, Christ's own work among us, makes and keeps Calvary Lutheran Church faithful. Visit us at clce.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.